Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Revolution Radio. Today is Wednesday, March 9th, and I'm pleased to welcome back this evening Commander Charles Kirchner, retired, and Mario Puzo, who have live mics now. Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Dr. Kate. It's me, Mario Puzo.
Good evening.
Hi,
Dr.
Mario.
Kate. This is Commander Kirchner.
Wonderful to hear your voices, gentlemen. I know, Mario, you've been on the radio all day, I guess, today. Glad to hear you getting around. And I just, again, want to not only welcome you, but to thank you for all the work that you've done. This doesn't require a response from you, because I know everyone wants to hear more. But, again, you have inspired me and carried us on. This evening, we have a couple of hours. I know you might be tired and so forth, but I have, as usual, the invitation to you to speak about whatever you'd like this evening. But I do have I have about five questions that I'd like to throw out that might guide how you discuss your discuss this evening. And if I can, I'd just like to lay out those questions first and then let you take it from there. Does that work for you?
Yeah, that's fine for me. I'm Charlie.
Yeah, we respond best to questions. So you can ask questions or take them from the chat room or the call-ins. We enjoy the shows the best when we're getting questions and answering the listeners' questions.
Very good. That's a good guide. And so with these five questions and to our listeners, if you'd like to call in and raise a question, please keep it on point, related, if you will. And when you call in, raise your hand. I'm going to ask Mario and Commander Kirchner to talk for a little while, about 45 minutes or so, and then we'll go ahead with questions and answers. So here's the first sort of overview. I'm just going to go through these, and then you can take it from there. First, I know it's been a few months since the denial of the case before the Supreme Court. I'd really like to kind of hear your perspective on the epic battle of Kirchner v. Obama, especially in light of the recent dismissal of Hollister. Just because the question is really, what do you think about the quality of our court, the judicial system corruption, and is this really about threats, or is this in part about the kind of training that these people have had? That's the first piece. The second is really, what now do you think about the implications of these dismissals? I mean, everybody wants to file some lawsuit somewhere, but it just is it's just a dismal opportunity, it seems, with the judicial system. The third area, which I think is most important, possibly most important for our listeners this evening, is the state front. And I know you both have been keeping track of the eligibility bills that are out there. In particular, Mario, I'm quite interested in you and also Leo D'Onofrio's analysis of the Arizona bill. And I'd like to see what you think is happening there. And in particular, if you could help our listening audience figure out what we need to do to make sure these eligibility bills get through. I assume Obama's going to sue the states just in time to prevent any of these eligibility bills from going forward. So if you could help us kind of forecast how we can help you all working on these issues. And then the last, if you could just update us on Terry Lakin and Teresa Cao, however you know. So with those things in mind, gentlemen, I honestly don't care if you talk about the man in the moon, because I really love your presence on this show. So take it away.
Okay, well, I'll say this. First of all, I'll give you, you know, the legal lawyer's view on some of these things. And, of course, Commander Kirchner, you know, he'll be able to give you, you know, the layperson's viewpoint, which is good, you know, because we need both. And again, you know, as an officer of the court, you know, I'm limited in what I can say about a court, about what a judge did, and that sort of thing, because you know, a lawyer has to maintain a certain I don't know what the word is, you know, but
professionalism.
Yeah, what? Yeah, you know, I mean, we can use that word, professionalism. So again, you know, I can't really, you know, be overly critical about a decision. You know, I mean, I can criticize it from a legal standpoint, but I, you know, there's certain limits I can go to. So I just want to say just a couple of things, and I'm sure Commander will be saying a lot more. But on the first one, on the SCOTUS decisions, you know, basically we know what's going on there. They just don't want to be involved. They don't tell us, you know, why they don't want to be involved, but we can just guess. I mean, that's the way it works with these petitions for certification. The court can deny the petition, and theoretically, each judge, each justice, okay, there are nine of them, each one of them could have a different reason why they denied the petition. And according to Supreme Court practice, they don't have to tell you why they decided not to give you the certification. And that's right in the procedure, right? You know, if you look at the case law and if you read about, you know, the Supreme Court, they have this freedom. They don't have to sit there and waste time and write an opinion why they decided not to take the case. You know, they don't have that kind of time. So they just say no. They have their secret meeting. And when I say secret, I don't mean it in a sinister sense. But, you know, literally there's nobody in there except the justices. And so we don't know why they decided no, but we can guess, you know, it's a political situation. You know, we're trying to get the court to define citizenship, but the problem is that's not only the only thing involved is defining citizenship, because we have it in relation to a presidential election. So that's what causes the problem here. So that's, you know, my lawyer's take on why the court didn't want to get involved. And it's unfortunate, because we do have a constitution. You know, the people need justice. So we need an answer. But, you know, that branch of government is not giving it to us. And then later on in the evening, we'll get to, like, you know, what could be done about all this. But anyway, that's just what I wanted to say about that.
Yes. Mario,
I have a question.
Mario's got to be more
I have a question regarding that.
Okay.
Sorry, if you don't mind, just
sure.
Just on that issue. So because they can, you know, in my view, the failure to deal with an issue like this, given all the preparation that has gone on, should be an impeachable offense with a judge, even the Supreme Court, and they can be impeached. But when they have these kinds of meetings and conferences, with no one can be in there and the decisions are not on the record and so forth, it makes it kind of impossible to even bring up a charge of failure, you know, dereliction of duty.
Well, I could probably address that better than Mario because he's an officer of the court. But I had a lot of respect for the legal system when I filed my case. I thought the Supreme Court, when they got the proper case, would take the case and support and defend the Constitution. I thought that some of the cases that they denied hearing, they were still, the political process hadn't played out. It was Obama hadn't even won the election. But anyway, at the point I filed, after the political process was done, and before he was sworn in, he was a president-elect, he was still a private person, and Mario prepared the legal case and briefs all along the way, and we went through every proper step. We didn't try to skip any, and I thought when a case like mine got there that they would finally say, this is the right case, and we're going to look at this. You know, I kind of expected maybe they wouldn't make an immediate decision, and that by the time they decided that Obama would be out of office maybe even, or just before. But at least we'd have natural-born citizen legally defined as it applies to a president of the United States on the record for history and for the future. But you know what happened? They just refused to hear the case, and I have lost faith in our legal system. I think the Supreme Court has disgraced itself. Historically, people are going to look back and call Chief Justice Roberts, the Neville Chamberlain Supreme Court. And as far as impeaching members, I think the two justices who did not recuse themselves when they have a direct financial interest in the outcome, Kagan and Sotomayor, not even talking about an appearance of a conflict of interest, any other level of judge would have to recuse themselves under the same circumstances. But of course, the Supreme Court justices, there's nobody above them to appeal to for them violating ethics by taking by voting and participating in a conference to decide whether to take a case which actually will decide if the president who appointed them is legal and therefore their appointments are legal. And they should have recused themselves. I don't think they did. I think they didn't because they were needed as part of the process to make sure this Kirchner case didn't see the light of day in a hearing because of the rule of four. Maybe you've heard that before, but with a 9-panel Supreme Court, you need 4 to move forward and 5 to win. 1 less than the majority to agree to take a case, and then 5 to win it in the actual hearing. Well, if they would have recused themselves, it'd have been down to 7, and now you have a rule of 3. And I think there's been just enough energy to take a case in the court that there was some suspicion that 3 justices would vote to take the Kirchner case or the Hollister case, so they had to vote despite the conflict of interest to kill the case by making sure the rule of 4 was still in play. Now, after Obama is exposed and removed from office, we're going to have to deal with all the issues of the things Obama did, like appointing Supreme Court justices. Now, this unethical procedure by these two justices, if Obama's been removed for being an illegal president, the question of whether or not those appointments stand because they were approved by Congress could be argued, ratified by the Senate. But now we have the unethical behavior. That would give us grounds to impeachment, in my opinion, at the point that Obama is gone and people are arguing, well, we should appoint 2 new appoint the justices to replace the 2 he appointed, and others will be saying, no, they should be staying on the court because they were ratified by the Senate. And I would then be arguing they should be impeached then if they're left on because they acted unethically in not agreeing to take a case to look at the eligibility of the president. And we're talking about now after Obama has been proven not to be eligible. The Supreme Court at that point then would be clearly have shirked their responsibility, and 2 of the justices clearly responsible for that would have been the 2 who should have recused themselves and didn't. So you see my take on that?
Yeah, I do, and this is, when I said impeachment, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Now let's just throw that scary scenario again that out there, that Obama gets reelected by whatever means. That's a whole nother show. I believe that there has to be, and I'm, of course, the non-lawyer, but I believe there has to be some kind of ethics questions raised immediately. Clearly, those of us out on the street fighting this thing are going to have to raise that, because even now and before Obama is out, that is a clear conflict of interest, and especially in Hollister, where there was actually a motion for recusal. Not
yeah, well, there was a
request.
Separate motion there, but there was also, in effect, sort of like a hidden motion in our petition. Mario
yes.
had in our petition a call citing appropriate federal regulations why they should have recused themselves. So we didn't make it a separate motion, but it was part of the petition to the court and called to their intention. I believe it was page 36 of the petition. I'm not positive.
Right, right.
It has
the same exact effect. It's a request
yeah.
for
yes.
recusal.
So, yeah, so they ignored
yes.
that.
Regardless, yes, I agree. And actually, as you know, I was very impressed with that piece in your work. So now we have two times where they have failed to recuse themselves on
well,
absolutely.
Well, three times. Once with us and twice with Hollister.
Federal ground.
They three times they swung at the
three
bat
times,
and did
exactly.
not recuse themselves. Twice with Hollister
three
and once
times.
With us. Right.
So now, in that regard, don't you think that raises a question right now of drawing attention to those justices?
Well,
and,
how are you going to get the Senate to convict them if they are impeached? The Democrats control the Senate. We're not going to get anywhere politically without something like that, as long as Obama is the president and the Senate's controlled by the Democrats.
Well, I understand that. I understand that. But as we know, it's never prevented us from essentially making sure this issue is completely exposed. Because me personally, I think it's disgraceful, and I think those two ought to be publicly humiliated, and if that's what it takes,
but
that's
how
what
do you
I'm
get the
do.
Powers to be to do it, Dr. Kate? The DOJ is in the pocket of Obama, the media is in the pocket of Obama, and the Senate's in the pocket of Obama, and the executive branch is Obama. All we have is the House. The House could
right,
impeach
right.
Obama
or the
justices, but they can't convict them because they don't have the votes in the Senate.
Okay, I've got that. That's really the answer to my question. It really raises, again, puts the burden on us folks out in the street now.
Well, the burden is really on us operating through the states. We are back to the original 13 colonies that became free and independent states when they
yep.
broke away from Great Britain, and they pooled their resources together and formed a federal government with limited powers under the Constitution. They have, and they retained all rights not given to that federal government under the 9th and 10th Amendment. They now have to reassert themselves. We created that Constitution on behalf of our people, our citizens, we the people, represented by our states. And we have to rein back in this federal government now. And that means put in strict vetting laws for the secretaries of states of enough states that no president candidate can ever do this again. It's up to the state.
Agreed. And
the media
great,
is not going to do
great,
a darn thing.
Right. That's a great segue into basically our next topic, which is tell us what's going on the state front. In particular, let's start with Arizona. And then, Commander, I know you've been putting out a number of discussions about the various other states. What do you see as common? What's not? What's required,
what should be desired, let's go from there. Well, I did hear some good news tonight that Arizona, the flaws in their law, that there's some movement in Arizona to correct that and somehow either get a new bill or amend that bill or somehow get on the floor some corrected wording that would address some of the issues that Mario brought up in his excellent essay on the flaws in that original Arizona bill. I mean, the way it was written, it was terrible. But the best bill out there right now is, I believe, Georgia. Would you agree, Mario, HB 401 in Georgia?
Yeah, it's good. It doesn't get into all the different spins and things, and it doesn't mix apples and oranges. It just sticks, sticks to prove that you're eligible.
Natural born.
Don't try to reinvent the 14th Amendment or anything and open up all this all these arguments.
And it says things in a proper way, like certain bills were written. The presidential candidate must provide his original birth certificate. Nobody's going to provide their original. They're going to provide a certified copy of the original provided by the state to the various secretaries of the states. In other words, they got to get the words right. They got to say provide a certified copy of the original long-form birth certificate, not the actual original long-form birth certificate. So there's lots of flaws like that in some of these laws. And they should be always be talking about that the person would be born at sole allegiance at birth, not get into, well, did you ever hold, do you ever have some point in your life later you might have inherited dual allegiance somehow? It's what you were when you were born. Were you a natural born citizen when you were born? Now, obviously, if you committed treason against a country and abandoned your citizenship, that's a completely different story. But these laws are not addressing something like that. We're talking about what was your birth status? Were you a natural-born citizen, born of two American citizens, whether they were naturalized or born themselves, and born in the USA? And the third part of the law that I like in Georgia is it gives the citizen standing in court to challenge the documentation submitted to the Secretary of State, such that at any point in the future, if a Secretary of State would be like in cahoots with the candidate and just give it a wink and a nod and say, oh, it's okay with me, under the law, the citizens would have 2 weeks to file a complaint or a challenge to that those documents themselves. So the standing issue in court would be solved by that statute that you could file in the state court demanding that those documents be further vetted and not just rubber stamped. So that's something I like about the Georgia law. It's pretty well written down there. Now, New Hampshire is coming out, too, with some new motion, and that's good because New Hampshire is one of the first primaries.
Yeah, by the way, on that word original, that creates a lot of confusion because it has two different meanings. Original also means in the beginning. So when these laws talk about the original birth certificate, maybe they mean original, like, your long form first, hospital generated. But then when you read it, it looks like, oh, wait a minute, they want the original paper document type thing, So so that's got to be, straightened out that, yes, we want the long form, the one that gives you the corroborating evidence. But like Charlie said, not necessarily the original paper itself, just the initial one contemporaneous when you were born, just so that's clear.
Right, and another thing they have to ask, I think they need in there, and any amendments to same, I think it's important that the person's birth registration, record from original through its current status be what provided for that transparency for the presidential candidates, that we know what we need to know about their birth registration status. And of course, the other records, which wouldn't be addressed by these laws that Obama has hidden, there should be common sense transparency of all these records if they're going to run for the highest office of the land. But at least, I think the law should be saying that the presidential candidate must provide a true and correct certified copy of the original birth registration records at a minimum, and then possibly say at the end and any amendments thereof,
Do you think,
also,
or does
also
any of
to say
the
that
bill,
they should provide an affidavit swearing you're a natural-born citizen, because that puts them on a record for perjury if they lie. Like, Obama has never said that in a general election. He's never publicly said he's a natural-born citizen.
That's right. So I had a question about forensic analysis, but if there's something on the record, I think that's important. So in your view, with the exception of the Arizona bill, and Mario, your analysis on Arizona is very important for our listeners tonight, so we can be prepared in case this happens in any other state, is that in any case, having a certified or swearing that they are natural-born citizens.
Maybe Mary would like to point out some of the flaws that he saw in the Arizona bill so that people can make sure they don't appear in other proposed state legislation. Do you remember enough about them, Mario, to throw some of them out?
Yeah, well, first of all, it tied the meaning of a natural-born citizen to the 14th Amendment. Now, that's very, very, I mean, so crucial to understand, just in general, the 14th Amendment is not about a natural-born citizen. It's about a citizen. And the reason why it's important to understand the difference is because you got to have a citizen before you can have a natural-born citizen. And the reason why you got to have a citizen is because you need parents. Okay? The parents make children. So you start with the citizens. Those citizens make natural-born citizens. So throughout our history, we've had this political and legal battle as to who could be a member of American society. Those people became, under the definition of the clause, they became the parents who made the natural-born citizens. So the 14th Amendment, the way we interpret it today, and I'm not saying that's correct, but even two aliens who were here, even illegally, the courts, the government is allowing them to have a citizen here. Okay, now the question becomes, well, wait a minute, is that person now a natural-born citizen? Because the 14th Amendment says that that person is a citizen? Okay, I say, and Commander Kirshner, we both say this, and many, many Americans say this, no, it can't be a natural-born citizen. You know, if the court's going to say, fine, you're a citizen, then you're just a citizen. You're a citizen of the United States. Okay. So
can I throw something in, Mario?
Yeah, sure.
The 14th Amendment has a clause after it, subject to the jurisdiction thereof, which Wong Kim Ark then bastardized, if I can use that word, because subject to the jurisdiction of certainly meant that the person was subject to complete jurisdiction. And in Wong Kim Ark, they kind of loosen it up a little bit because the person was legally domiciled here. The parents were legally domiciled here, and they were under more jurisdiction than say if they were just sojourning here, because they were permanent residents here, legally Chinese parents. And Wong Kim Ark loosened the 14th Amendment, not properly, but we've had to live with it because they found that the person was a citizen of the United States because he was born to two non-citizen but legally domiciled residents in the United States. Correct, Mario?
Yes.
What the courts did went a little further, and now they completely ignored the legal domicile statements in Wong Kim Ark, and they're giving citizenship to people who are here illegally.
Their parents here illegally.
Parents are here illegally. They're not legally domiciled here. And that's the problem that we have now going back to the 14th Amendment. When the 14th Amendment was written, the understanding was that subject to the jurisdiction thereof meant you were citizens of the United States. That's the way people understood it back there. No allegiance to any country. And then Wong Kim Ark loosened that just to mean, well, permanently legally domiciled here, and somewhere along in the last 100 years, they just completely abandoned that legal domicile requirement, which is part of Wong Kim Ark.
Yeah, but now here's the crucial thing to understand. The argument about what subject to the jurisdiction means and what the 14th Amendment mm-hmm. means and all that, that's not an argument about a natural-born citizen.
That's
it
right.
It is not. It is not.
Right.
You see?
Not
now,
even
okay,
in that amendment. The natural-born words
Obama's
aren't even
people,
in there.
The Obama supporters, they want the issue to be, oh, wait a minute. You know, when we're arguing about the 14th Amendment, we're arguing about a natural-born citizen. So look at Wong Kim Ark. Wong Kim Ark said that even if you're born here of two alien parents, you're a natural-born citizen. I mean, now
let's say legal alien parents. That's what Wong Kim Ark was talking about, legally here alien
well,
parents.
Well, yeah, domiciled aliens here. But the argument is not about making a natural-born citizen. It's an argument about making a member of American society, which is your first generation. Okay, you're on board, now you're an American. Then if those two Americans, you know, husband and wife, they make a child, that child is a natural born citizen. So that's where the confusion comes in with the 14th Amendment. And even when you read all these cases, like Juan Kimark, that was just about, will this person be a member of American society?
So Juan Kimark was allowed to be a member of society, and he could have married an American lady. He was Chinese. He became a citizen of the United States. He could marry an American lady, and she was a citizen or became a citizen by marrying a citizen. And they have children, and the children of those two citizens are now the natural-born citizens.
Yes.
So what Juan Kimark did was allow Chinese people born here, of legally domiciled Chinese parents, to get that initial citizenship so they then could procreate natural-born citizens.
Exactly. And the battle that we had, even with slavery, okay, that the slavery disabled African Americans from becoming citizens, you know, through the Dred Scott case. Then we had the Civil Rights Act in 1866. Then the 14th Amendment, which we talked about, you know. Now, blacks, that's a different situation because they were here for many generations.
Right.
So it wasn't a problem of allegiance with blacks. It was a problem of slavery. Okay.
They never had initial citizenship, though, so they couldn't procreate natural borns.
Yeah, they just because they, you know, they couldn't naturalize, they didn't recognize them. So then they were, you know, they were granted membership. So then, fine, that issue is over, it's finished. Then you had the problem with the Europeans. You see, the children of alien Europeans, that was a problem because they weren't here for generations. They just came here. Clearly, those children are born subject to a foreign power. Like the classic example is Chester Arthur, President Chester Arthur, his father, right, was from Ireland. And then back then, of course, once an American woman married an alien, she became an alien too. She lost her citizenship. Okay, there's all kinds of situations in our history that's clearly in the historical record where what would happen too is these women, these were like American women here for like, you know, off the Mayflower families, they would become aliens because they married somebody from Europe. And then
who had not naturalized yet. That's the key point.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they just married an alien just like Chester Arthur's parents, okay? Mm-hmm. She became an alien. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, I've written about this. Leo D'Onofrio talked about the Chester Arthur thing, but nobody ever said that his mother also became an alien. Okay, I mean, that kind of was missed, but I wrote on that. I said, look, Chester Arthur was born to two aliens, not one, two, because the mother became also an alien. Then, again, in our history, when the father...
And the reason was because back then women didn't have independent citizenship. They got, by fusion, they got the citizenship of their husband by U.S. law and international law.
Yeah. Then, of course, in the 20s, then under the Cable Act, I think it was 1924 or 22, then women, of course, got their own rights. They didn't, you know, lose. They didn't gain automatically. They had to, everything had to be, you know, within their own rights, but which was what you have today. So the point, again, is, you know, going back now to Arizona, they mixed everything in with the 14th Amendment about subject to the jurisdiction. They made a natural-born citizen, anybody who's born subject to the jurisdiction, okay, which under Juan Kimark, you know, you could have two alien parents. So then,
under Juan Kimark, they interpret a subject to the jurisdiction thereof to mean that legally two parents legally domiciled here was acceptable to meet that clause.
Yeah, so then that creates a big problem. Then a tremendous problem in the Arizona proposal was that how they defined not owing any allegiance to any foreign sovereignty. They said because, you know, they said, okay, these people do not have allegiance to any foreign sovereignty. They said somebody who's here as a green card holder. In other words, you can have two parents, green card holders. They give birth to somebody here that's a natural born citizen under this Arizona law proposal.
And they should have been saying citizen of the United States, and they put they throw in natural born. And they in effect took Juan Kimark and added the term natural born into that ruling that's not there.
Yeah, but now think about that. They're saying that these people are not subject to any foreign power. That is so wrong. How could a green card holder not be subject to a foreign power? He's not even a citizen American citizen. You know, how could you not be subject to a foreign power?
So the Arizona law was conveying natural-born citizenship status to green card holders.
To green card, right.
That's
not
a serious flaw in the Arizona law.
Yeah, not citizens, green card holders. They give birth to somebody, their natural-born citizen. Okay, now, if the intent was to define who's going to be a citizen, okay, again, going back to the 14th Amendment, then fine. If they want to say that... okay, if you two guys are green card holders and you have a baby here, he's an American citizen. Okay, that's a policy decision that has to be made.
Right.
Okay, it's like Juan Kimark. They said, oh, okay, you got two aliens, but they're domiciled here. You know, in effect, they were like green card holders, but you know, in effect, you know, but they don't say they're natural born citizens. They're children. Just stick with the issue that they're citizens.
Right.
They're members of society.
Another area I see, I can't cite the place where I read it, but many of the OBUTs are pushing that these state legislators and others say that equating a natural-born citizen, which we know from historic and actually the Vattel definition, is a child born in the USA of two citizen parents. They are now trying to equate natural-born citizen as being equal to citizen at birth. Now, that is ridiculous because I can give you an example of a man, an Iranian national, meeting a U.S. citizen woman in Iran, marrying her and having a child in Iran, and the child under U.S. statutory law, because his mother is a U.S. citizen, would be considered a citizen at birth under Title 8, Section 1401, the father's a foreign national, and say the mother's 30 years old and had always lived in the United States and goes over there and marries him and has a child over there. That child's born in Iran of an Iranian national, and the child is also a U.S. citizen at birth via the mother. Now, they're trying to say that if a natural-born citizen is the same thing as a citizen at birth. Therefore, that child born in Iran of an Iranian national of a U.S. citizen mother would be eligible to be president of the United States. Unbelievably absurd.
Yeah. And a different way to look at what Commander is saying is that, and here's how I keep it in my mind. It's very, very simple. If you say just at birth, the problem is this. Congress could make anybody at birth. They can pass a law, and they can make anybody at birth, okay? But what does Article 2 say? It says natural born. Natural.
Right.
So in other words, you don't need a law to make you at birth, okay?
Right.
But look, if you look at Congress's naturalization acts, okay, they say, oh, okay, if you're born here, blah blah blah, you're a citizen of the United States at birth. They always put at birth in there, okay?
Right.
But what is it? It's a naturalization act. So
they're
naturalizing you at birth, but that's not natural born, because if it was natural born, you wouldn't need Congress to tell you
exactly.
You know, so you wouldn't need Congress to exercise its naturalization powers to make you at birth.
A natural-born citizen is a subset of all citizens who are citizens at birth. I mean, but not all citizens at birth are natural-born citizens. I mean,
exactly.
So
because laws are making them at birth.
Right, and natural law makes a natural-born citizen. Natural law does. You're born a citizen, but by natural law, not any man-made law. And that's what's wrong with Arizona. They're trying to define a natural-born citizen as something that's, that violates natural law and the body of law called the Law of Nations, which has been in existence for thousands of years and codified by Vattel. A natural-born citizen, by laws of nature, is born of two U.S. citizens in the country. No other foreign allegiance at birth. No sole allegiance to the United States at birth. So it's laws of nature.
And the 14th Amendment is the Civil Rights Act of 1866 constitutionalized. That's all it is. Congress passed a statute. They wanted to give it a higher level, a constitutional level. So they got the 14th Amendment passed, and it became a law, constitutional.
Yeah, because some of the states were winking and nodding at the statute. They weren't enforcing it. So they made it a constitutional amendment.
Yeah, but it's still a positive law.
Exactly.
It's not a natural act, the 14th
That's
Amendment.
That's right.
It's still a law. And if you have to rely on the 14th Amendment to make you a citizen of the United States, you're not a natural born citizen. You're not.
What did the Constitution do? The Constitution put into man-made formatted law our natural rights. We had our natural rights before the Constitution existed.
That's
so
right.
The Constitution can codify a natural right, but it can't create them. It can't create natural rights.
We had that. Yes.
No, go ahead, Mario.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to pick up on what Commander said. You know, the Declaration of Independence. I mean, that first, the preamble, the preamble is the most powerful paragraph of the whole Declaration of Independence. That is the essence, the quintessential element of America is that first paragraph. Laws of nature and of nature's God. That's it right there. That is the whole revolution. That is the whole everything. Okay, because that's where our rights came from, and then the people who had the rights through the nature's law and God, they created the government.
People misunderstand the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights is not the federal government giving us those rights. The Bill of Rights is the constitutionally embedded into law of the Constitution, the codification of our rights, saying that the federal government cannot abridge these rights. It says, thou shalt not make a law about, you know, abridging the freedom of religion. It doesn't say, I hereby give you the freedom of religion. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And let me head back to the Arizona piece just for a second. Sort of three sub-questions. One is, Commander, you mentioned at the top of the hour that you had some good news, possible good news, that some of that language might be defeated.
I can't give out any names, but I understand some work in process to salvage the effort in Arizona as we speak.
Very good. Now, can you tell me also, what about this interstate component of Arizona's law?
Well, I guess that's that compact. They're trying to get a bunch of states to go together and adopt the same language. That's why they got to be so careful that if Arizona's trying to do that, they got to make sure Arizona's law is written very carefully.
Yeah,
by the way, I talked to my state rep tonight about this issue also. I personally talked on the telephone to my state rep tonight about getting Pennsylvania moving on this.
That's great, Commander.
Mm-hmm. And he did tell me that that there's something in the works, and the Representative Metcalf is the leader of it in Pennsylvania. But it's not
okay.
Publicly.
If Arizona does clean up, the language and so forth, mm-hmm. are they likely to keep the interstate piece? And if they do, what does that mean about every other state's eligibility effort right now?
Well, the interstate thing, the compact, that's basically, like the Constitution, for example, that's a compact, you know, where, you know, many, many join together and decide to be guided by one. That's real basically what a compact is. So, it's going to be a little hard for one state to kind of say, okay, now everybody's going to do it my way. But one state can try to do that like Arizona did. But the point is this. You know, it doesn't matter if you got, you know, one state, two state, three state. The point is just do it right. You know, keep it simple, keep it clean, keep it where that you're not going to end up. You know what happens when you try to do something like this? You can mention 100 things.
Don't get lost in the weeds, like they say. Don't get into the weeds.
Yeah. You have 100 things that you mentioned. Okay, one of those things is ridiculous. Okay, just let's say one. You know what happens? That's all you're going to hear about that one thing, how ridiculous it is. They're going to ridicule you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to say you're incompetent and you're this and you're that. And then everybody's going to get lost that you had 99 good things, and they're all going to think about just that one stupid thing, and then all of a sudden it's like, what happened? You lost all your momentum. You know, everybody makes a big joke about it, and you lose the ball game. You see?
Now,
so you got
to
be careful.
Mario has
like
offered
that.
To consult with these states, and I have been writing to people offering Mario to consult with these states to help clean up the language. But so far, none of them have called us up. You know,
yeah,
we've
so
gone
anyway,
through
the
legal fights. We've gone through the legal fights, and we know how the Obama machinery operates and the ridicule machine, and we know how to write the language that if it was adopted into law, it would be you know, almost bulletproof.
Oh yeah, we sure know the Obots.
Yeah,
we sure know them. We've got remember who was it? Fee fi fo fum. I smell the what was that? Smells what of an English? What was that? How was
you
that
lost
saying?
Me, Mario.
Well,
fee fi fo fum. I smell the blood of an Englishman.
Right. Remember that? Okay. Well, we smell the blood of an Obot. You know, they're always trying to, you know, sneak in and be very devious and all these sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
So,
nitpick,
you know,
something to death and ridicule the whole bill based on one thing. But
yeah,
just
they can't
things
argue
like
a
they,
point. They
if they
can't
say
just
that,
argue. They got to make a joke. They got to, you know,
right.
Snark and all this, you know, gobbledygook. They can't just have a decent civil argument about anything. You know,
right.
If you got a comma out of place, you know, you could write a 100-page novel, and the comma was out of place, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to make a big post about that, you know, about how the comma was out of place. So that's what you're dealing with here.
But it's simple things like when and Mario says unity of citizenship and sole allegiance, make sure you put the words at birth after that. See, because that's when a natural-born citizen is created. So they've got it, and then when they say provide an original birth certificate, they should say a certified true and correct copy of the original long form birth certificate. Make it very clear, you know, what you really want. And I like the language being put in there that they provide a sworn affidavit that they are eligible under the U.S. Constitution, including stating that they are a natural-born citizen, and that they make them state it and sign it, notarized, you know. I'm a natural-born citizen. I've been a resident of the United States 14 years, and I'm 35 years of age. Make them sign, you know. There's only three simple things, so it isn't like they have to write a book in that affidavit. Just don't have them say, I meet the eligibility requirements of the Constitution. If they make them sign an affidavit saying that, it's unclear what the eligibility requirements are of the Constitution, and you're back to arguing, well, native-born is the same as natural-born. Let's use the word natural-born in an affidavit. And the fourth part I like to see in there is that the citizens of the state have the right to challenge the documentation submitted within 2 weeks of submission to the Secretary of the State, so that the citizens can self-police that the Secretary of State is doing their job and have the standing to bring a suit in court if the Secretary of State is not doing their job under the law.
And here's another point. If you want to run for president and you got to show these documents, then you're waiving your right to privacy. You're waiving it. I mean, come on. You know, we have a self-representative form of government, which means that we have to know who we're electing so that we can
trust
that person.
Look at that. That federal judge up in Alaska said that the guy running for governor had to release his documents. He said you have – that federal judge in Alaska, who was that candidate up there? I forget. But it was – he said that you don't – when you ran for high office in the state of Alaska here for governor, you've lost your right of privacy.
Yeah. You know, it is so absurd. The Constitution says you've got to be a natural-born citizen, and then the people want to know whether the person is a natural-born citizen by releasing a document which will show that, and then the person, the candidate or the president-elect, whatever you want to call him, says, oh, well, I have a privacy right. You know, you don't. And then what? Just because you snuck in? You know, you snuck in, you got past the finish line, so now nobody can do anything because of right to privacy? I mean, come on. That is so absurd.
And the argument
well,
that
again,
posting something
also,
on the Internet is
today,
showing the document.
Obama once again say, you know what, I was born in Hawaii. I can't change that fact. And nobody, of course, asked the follow-up, which is, yes, you can. You can show us your Kenyan birth certificate or whatever.
Well, no, he can say you can't change that fact. Notice the play on words. He should be asked, but we don't ask you to change the fact. We ask you to prove the fact.
That's correct.
It's not even
and
responsive.
No one, right.
It's not responsive. What's changing the fact have to do with anything? It's not responsive.
We want them to prove the fact.
It's once again asking him to take him at his word, which we can't. Everything that he says is the opposite of what he does.
In fact.
Why add that I can't change that fact? Why add that? It's not responsive. Okay,
It's
a tool. It's a rhetorical tool to say, I can't change, quote, that fact.
He's making it a fact. We should be
that's
saying,
correct.
You
that's
can't
a rhetorical
prove,
tool.
We want you to prove it is a fact, not that you can't change the fact. It's not an established fact until you prove it.
If somebody said that to me, if I was interviewing somebody, like a witness of somebody, and that question came up and they said that I can't change that fact, that would be a red flag for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're overkilling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're overkilling the issue. You don't have to, nobody asked him to change anything. We just ask him to establish it.
Mario, let's just say that you're interviewing Obama on the stand and he said that to you. What's your next response?
Oh, how you respond is not easy, but your mind says,
I'll say
how
I would respond. I would say, Mr. Obama, I'm not asking you to change that fact. I'm asking you to prove that it is a fact that you were born in Hawaii.
Yes, but the point is, though, that he overstated. So now how do you, how do you prove that he's lying? That's not easy. But when somebody overstates something, they're trying to make it more than what it is. Then that's a red flag.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, his words are planting in the listener's mind that it is already a proven fact. He's saying it's a fact, and that
he
can't change
it. But he's overstating.
I know he's overstating it, but he's also stating it is a fact, and it's not a fact until he proves it.
Oh, I agree with you,
right.
Sander. Yeah. But, okay.
Absolutely. So just let me just step back just a second and point to just another related piece. We are right on all of this. You have been right. We have been right all along on this. And no matter
and
his
that's why they won't
tools,
put Mario and I on television with Anderson Cooper.
Right. And the minute you go on Napolitano, that's going to be a big deal. I just lost my thought. I guess I'm just going to have to wait till it comes back. Sorry
that
about
you,
that.
That we've been right.
Here it is.
Right.
If we were wrong on this, why, for example, I know there must be some OBAs in the Arizona area working on this, but why, for example, the reports that Obama has been quietly scrubbing legal manuals to maintain that Wong Kim Ark creates a natural born citizen.
A professor rewrote his essay on that. There was the guy who, the Arizona professor, republished his essay that he used to attack McCain. You know about that, Mario?
Yes. Slalom. I had in some of my writings on my blog, I had written about that. And I mentioned the whole how he did that. And then there
that's
was also local, an article recently put out by Leo D'Onofrio about that.
Right.
So I'm very well aware of that.
And I also heard you're trying to purge the Foreign Affairs Manual now, too, but I don't have the facts on that.
Yeah, now, I haven't read that yet, but Leo D'Onofrio, he has something on that, too, but I haven't had a chance to read that.
Yeah, so this is, again, Commander, I'd like to say – highlight what you said at the top of the hour. We are back to the state's control, and back to the necessity of the state's acting. So we've been talking about these various eligibility laws and what you'd like to see in them. Are there any that you have seen right now that stand out for having
the
all
Georgia
the elements?
Georgia law is the best. House Bill 401 in Georgia. That is the one that one there has just about got it right almost in every case.
Okay, let's fast forward. Let's say somebody like Georgia or say a handful of states get this passed. It has to be effective, I think, starting this fall. Is that correct?
Yeah, when the primaries start.
Well, that's a good point that you raised there, Dr. Kate, because we've got some wishy-washy going on already. People try to be Mr. Nice Guy, okay? Like, for example, I think it's New Hampshire just recently now. I think maybe I just saw that today saying, don't worry, this is going to go into, like, 2013.
Right.
They're
going to skip Obama.
I'm sorry?
They're going to skip the 2012 election so Obama gets a pass.
it's like, look how nice I am. Oh, this is not about Obama. It's going to go into effect in 2013, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So, why can't we just do things with conviction, Why can't we do things with courage and do the right thing at the right time? Why do we have to, like, be you know, it's like this political correctness thing. You know, we hear that a lot today. You know, we're trying, mm-hmm. Everything's got to be politically correct, and then we created this big mess. So here we go now with New Hampshire. You know, Mr. Nice Guy. You know, oh, it's not going to go into effect until 2013. So, you know, here we are.
Well, that was one guy saying it, but I mean, you know, it may come. They may still get it moved up to 2012. We don't know, but Georgia, if that state puts their bill into law, it's going to be really tough for Obama to get on the ballot in Georgia. And that'll give us a lot of publicity and maybe break the mainstream media's coverage on this. Although they could ignore it. So I always said we got to get states like North Carolina, Indiana, and Pennsylvania to pass a similar law, because those would be lost electoral votes that Obama won in the last election. He didn't win Georgia.
This is something I'd like to just bring up as well, as I am absolutely sure that the federal government will use dollars to bribe these states to postpone or not.
They're blackmailing Georgia right now about billions of dollars for dredging Savannah Harbor. They won't give them the money if you pass this law.
That's right. And
what a circus.
I feel like all the states have to hang together, and we must alert each other to this, because if one state goes out because of this, this is the fear factor. I mean, this mm-hmm. is really huge. The other aspect about it, besides bribing, is I'm absolutely convinced they're going to sue. And we have, you know, all kinds of stuff on how the feds can't sue the states on these issues and so forth, but they'll do it while we, quote, sort out this mess.
States have the right under the Constitution for original jurisdiction in a dispute with a president like that.
And immigration.
But Dr. Kate, let's think about what we're saying. This is absolutely insane. Let's assume that this law says you got to present your birth certificate so that we can see that you're a natural born citizen, and they're going to get sued for that. They're going to get sued for that? I mean, is that the most absurd thing?
I
can't say that that wouldn't happen. What do you think?
I think he will do it.
I think
Obama will do it and say it's a violation of my free speech kind of stuff.
Well,
but he can run for president and be put on the ballot by free speech in Georgia by a write-in vote. State of Georgia has the right to restrict who goes on her ballot.
No, there's ways to get around this free speech thing. Okay, first of all, you know, people have to know that if I'm voting, okay, I'm not going to waste my vote. Okay, yeah, you can have free speech. That's fine. Free speech is fine. Mm-hmm. But I got to know whether or not if I vote for you that you're going to be able to sit in that chair.
Right.
Okay. So that's not free speech. Okay.
Right.
So you can work free speech into it. But mm-hmm. okay, if I want to waste my vote, in other words, if you're a free speech candidate, okay, tell me you're a free speech candidate. Okay? That you
well, I'm saying
run.
That gives me the right to run for president, and you can write my name in on the ballot, but my name won't be on the ballot because there are laws that govern who legally can be put on the ballot.
Right. That's insane. I can't know whether or not you're going to be able to sit in that chair, and I'm going to vote for you.
Free speech
and then
says I can shout.
I lose my vote because you're
free
because
speech
you're
says
not
I can
qualify.
Shout fire, Mario. I can
What's
shout
that?
Fire, but not in a crowded theater. I can't shout fire. See. That's
well,
free
something
speech
else about the theater, but what I'm saying is, what I'm saying is that we got to use common sense here, okay?
Exactly.
Yes, we can accommodate free speech. Okay, you're a free speech candidate. That means that mm-hmm. you're only doing this because you want to, you know, have a campaign and you want to make a political speech about it. But the people got to know that you're not qualified to sit in that chair, okay? So that they're not just going to waste their vote.
Exactly. So I think he would lose to the Supreme Court on this, but I think he would be he'd be bold enough to challenge any state law. But then again, if he does it, I can't see how the press can cover it up. In other words, if a couple states are being challenged by Obama because they won't put him on the ballot because he refuses to show a birth certificate, an original long-form birth certificate, that's a state's rights issue under the 9th and 10th Amendment, and I would see the Supreme Court upholding states.
Well, no, the states have a lot of power.
Actually, I don't right now. I don't see the Supreme Court helping at all. What I'm interested in is not having it go to the Supreme Court, for example, but
But they can't deny it. They have to take original jurisdiction.
But if Obama, I'm interested in the public relations nightmare that's going to be when Obama challenges 10 states because he doesn't want to show his birth certificate based on some privacy or some
Dr.
free
Kate,
speech thing.
If it's 10 states, he won't run. He will not run. He will not run. He will resign. The powers that be, George Soros, will say, Obama, you've done all you can. We don't need you anymore. You're not running.
Yeah, that's insane, absolutely insane. How could you run for president and you got to be a natural-born citizen and you don't want to show that you're a natural-born citizen? You don't want to show the proof of it that because of privacy rights? I mean, come on. I mean, my son could understand that, you know?
Maybe I'm just beat up from this because it was the impossible thing that anyone could possibly, in my view, even think of running for president who was not eligible. And that's the disbelief piece that still plagues a lot of Americans. Say, oh, he wouldn't do that. Of course he wouldn't do that. And
you know
so
how
already
bad our
that
media
point
is.
In
our
2012,
terrible.
Where there will be enough to overwhelm this, because I'm not counting this guy out in terms of staying around more. He's having more success on his destruction of us, than I'm sure his wildest dreams imagined.
Dr. Kate, I saw one Fox show tonight show the NPR tape, what was said at that luncheon was secretly recorded. And they showed him talking anti-Semitic comments, but they edited it out and did not show the birther remarks.
Oh, yeah.
So here we got the media. We got the NPR saying that they did a study, and 51% of the American people don't believe Obama was born in America, but they're not going to report on it. And Fox News is editing that out.
Yeah, they made the whole thing to be anti-Semitic.
Yeah, exactly right.
They cut out all the birther stuff, all the 51%
right.
And all that. Oh yeah, she was fired because she was anti-Semitic.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's controlled opposition for you. But if they're owned by the Saudi king, what do you say?
I'm just saying, maybe if a couple states didn't put them on the ballot, the media wouldn't even report it.
Yeah.
That's
so
why we
got
to get to the
Mike
states.
Huckabee,
we got to
right?
get states that he won the electoral votes.
Commander, so much for Mike Huckabee about the media.
Yeah, that's right. Huckleberry said that the media would take care of this. Look at what they did with the media. Look at what Huckleberry did. I call him Huckleberry because he's a Barry Sotero apologist now. Huckleberry.
Exactly.
Yeah, the media's going to take care of it all right.
Yeah, NPR showed him how the media is taking care of Barry Sotero. Protecting him,
and also continues to do it by editing, the information.
Right, that was a big news story that NPR's own study showed 51% of the people don't believe Obama was born in this country. And then she said in the same statements that in this country the president must be born in the United States. She's educating these Arab actors, And then she says that they have a survey that showed 51% don't believe he was born in the United States, but we're not going to cover that.
Yeah, and that none of those are Democrats, she says.
Right.
Imagine that. None of those are Democrats.
Yeah,
can you imagine if this was a Republican president?
mm-hmm.
They would be covering
it. Okay. Well, show me the way in which this media crap finally falls. Show me the way.
That voted for Obama to pass these laws. You got to get Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Indiana, which now have they have a Republican government in Pennsylvania, Republican in Indiana. Get these governors and legislators to work together to get these strict vetting laws in place before the primaries start. So that he can't win Pennsylvania without getting on the ballot. He can't win Indiana without getting on the ballot. And that means if he can't show a birth certificate, long form, certified, true and correct copy, and doesn't get on the ballot, there's no way he can win those states, and he loses those electoral votes, and that will be big news.
Yeah,
that's
that would be good news.
Get the states that are generally more conservative that he did win, like North Carolina, Indiana. You know, he squeaked. You know, Ohio, he won Ohio too, right? Get Ohio in Pennsylvania, which now is a Republican governor and a Republican legislator, and I'm working on it in Pennsylvania to get this law in effect. And take four major. How many electoral votes do you have if you put Indiana, Pennsylvania, North Carolina together, and Ohio? He couldn't possibly win if he couldn't get in the ballot in those four states.
Yeah, but you know we're not only talking about votes here. We're talking about eligibility. You know, if you can't prove yourself to one state, then as far as I'm concerned, you haven't proven yourself to any of them. You shouldn't get.
Right.
You know, you're not eligible.
But if one
period.
State does it, the press would marginalize that one state.
You're running a rogue election.
That
is such a rogue election. You know, you're going to stay away from one state because I can't prove myself over there, but I'm going to slip on through. With
we have
other
a rogue
ones.
President sitting there now. He's not eligible.
Is that a rogue election or what?
Exactly. So it will still be a need for Blog Talk Radio, for blogs, for the rest of us to get this out because they will do their best to marginalize the
people
states
have
to do
got
this.
To go
also,
into the state legislators right now and eyeball them and talk to them. Like I did tonight, I talked to my state rep. Get the states working on this. Go in and see your rep in person. Talk to his staff and deliver a letter in person telling them about and maybe a copy of the 13 states that are doing this now, which WND has a list of them, and give it to your state rep and say, you want an answer on this. You want to know what your state is doing to tighten up the vetting of presidential and vice presidential candidates because the honor system is broken. We've got to vet people now because people are lying about their citizenship for everything.
Yes.
So people can't just send emails and they can't just post on blogs. They've got to get off their duff now and go in and confront their state reps in their local offices, meet with their staff and give them the information of what's going on in the 13 states, cite Georgia as a leader in it, as a very good law to look at, and say, Mr. Rep, are you going to help do something in our state about this? And target Ohio, Indiana, Pennsylvania, North Carolina. Obviously, you're not going to get California to do a darn thing about this, right? They're not going to do anything.
Right.
They're too liberal.
I just have all of the strategies still must apply. So I thank you because I asked you, to help us what we need to do next.
You don't have to drive cross country to go see your state rep. You're in Arizona now, Dr. Kate, right? Go in and see
Commander, that's classified.
Pardon?
That's classified.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem. I'm in Arizona.
You should go in there and see Burgess, Senator Burgess, and give him some of this information.
And I wanted to also say that our friend Captain Neil Turner's idea of standing down and also going before city councils is essential. And I wanted to report that I actually did go to my city council and list off the. At one of those appointed hours when the public can just talk, I listed some of the brief issues about Obama and promised to come back in a couple of weeks, and including the 39 Social Security numbers. And where I live is actually somewhat of a liberal town, but those actions are still important. The talking with people are still important. The writing the letters to the editor are still important because if people get to slip back and just ignore this again,
we've got synergy
going
right now with 13 states. We can go to a state rep now and say, we're not asking you to go out on the end of a diving board all by yourself. There's 13 states taking the lead here. Well, I want you to go out on the limb and lead our state to also tighten up on vetting for presidential elections. They can point to 13 states now.
Here's something I wanted to add. Yes,
go ahead.
Yeah, and I wanted to say that from day one when this eligibility issue came up, the Obama camp and probably Obama himself, they've basically thought of it this way. Okay, there's certain people that want to argue this issue about my birth certificate and about my eligibility. But here's how they looked at it. They go, well, those people that are doing this, they're the ones who voted against me anyway. So that doesn't really change anything, because all the people that voted for me, they're not going to be convinced by these nut jobs. So I got nothing to worry about. You see? So that's how they looked at this.
They used divide and conquer, too. Now we got – if one state was thinking about doing this, the Obots and all the media would jump on that one state. But now we got 13 states. It's going to be hard for a state legislator to say, oh, I don't want to take the lead on this. You got 13 states now already taking the lead. We want Pennsylvania. I told my rep, we want Pennsylvania to be part of it. We want you to be either 14, 15, 16, or 17. Get on board with this. This is important. This is our constitutional eligibility clause. It was put in there for a reason.
And you got to get the information out to the people who voted for Obama, not only the ones who voted against him, because that plays right into their hand. They're saying, this is really nothing, this birther thing, because these are the people who voted against me. But when you start getting independents involved and Democrats involved because they want to know the truth, forget about politics, about Republican, Democrat, or whatever. You know, we this is for the good of the nation, of the Constitution, integrity. That's where the point has to be driven home, and that's where Obama's going to lose, because he's counting on this thing being just with the people who voted against him. So it doesn't cost them anything. It doesn't cost them anything, because as far as he's concerned, he could paint the street with gold. With gold, and those people would vote against him anyway, okay, which is what happens, with diehard, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, it doesn't matter, you can, bring God down from the sky and they'll still vote against you, okay? So that's what he's looking at here. But if we get enough people involved, like this 51% that we're hearing here, then you're talking about something that's serious.
Which is why, again, I'll be repetitious. Let's the listeners out there that are in Indiana, Ohio, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, which are states Obama won, let's get the vetting law on those books so he can't win them, because he can't get on the ballot. If he refuses to show his birth certificate, he won't get on the ballot.
Sure, sure.
And I would also add that, at the same token, those 13 states that are working right now, we need to offer our support and say go for it without, just providing that positive support for also citizens in their states who are doing that as well. Commander, I had a note in the chat room from your friend Papoose, who said she will never forget how you led the troops down through the woods for a chicken sandwich.
That was a secret. That's classified. That's classified. You're not supposed to talk about that.
Notice I didn't say what woods and what troops. Anyway, I'd like to echo that. So we have these efforts at the state. That's good. Anything you see coming up that could derail any of those efforts?
Well, the Obots are going to be out there trying to ridicule this effort.
Right.
That's what's going to be.
Yeah.
The media is in his pocket, and you're going to see major – you see the test that every Republican going on the Sunday news shows. You now denounce the birthers right here on, that they're at these – you see how they put these Republican congressmen on the spot, Speaker Boehner?
Yeah, an oath of allegiance.
Yeah, it's like a litmus test.
Yeah, with all the acting on, feigning alarm and disgust.
Yeah, it's like Anderson Cooper, right?
Mm-hmm.
He loves that.
Yes.
He'll give you the oath of allegiance. Are you going to renounce the birthers? It's like
with one eyebrow going up.
Yeah. In other words, you got to renounce the birthers, or you will not be anointed. With any rights to even run for office.
Yep. If you don't renounce the birthers right here and now, I'm going to call you insane.
Right. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
And this is our media, our fourth branch of government.
Well, that raises another issue that I think is very important. And this is, again, another reminder from the chat room. It's time to press on the press. We need to be in their windows every day. Because this, I can't stand watching that kind of stuff. And, of course, Republicans are not standing up anyway.
I'm still running the full-page ads, Dr. Kate.
They don't look comfortable.
I'm still running the full-page ads in the Washington Times National Edition. Hello?
Yes.
Am I gone?
Yes. No, you're there. Can you hear me?
I'm still running the full-page ads in the Washington Times National Edition, and that is given as a courtesy to every member of Congress, senators and reps and cabinet officials and all the major political players in Washington get that paper as a courtesy, and many, many more get it as a subscription. There's like over between 80 and 100,000 paid subscribers nationwide. So they're seeing those full-page ads with the ineligible stamp on Obama's forehead. You know the one I'm talking about. The picture of Obama and said, I tried and lied, you know, but it won't go away.
He's sweating.
Yep. So you know, they're seeing that. We're keeping on doing that. We're pounding on the media. That's why the Chris Matthews and the Anderson Coopers and what's his name, Dick Gregory or whatever is his name, Dick Gregory. The Sunday guy.
Yeah.
That's why they're pounding on these Republicans when they get them in there. They see this. They know that 51% or more of the American people are very concerned about this birth certificate and natural born citizen issue. They're trying to get the Republican candidates and leaders to paint themselves in the corner by going on national TV and say, "Oh, that's a question I'm not going to answer. I mean, that's a question that we're not going to talk about." You know, they want to trap them. That's what they're trying to do.
Oh, you know what else they use? This whole thing about conspiracy. Everything's a conspiracy, okay? If you look at the Wikipedia, they've got a whole article in there, and it's called Barack Obama Citizenship Conspiracy Theories, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know what's a conspiracy as far as they're concerned? If you argue that a natural-born citizen is a child born in the nation of two citizen parents, if you argue that, that's a conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
If you argue that Obama has yet to produce adequate proof that he was born in Hawaii, that's a conspiracy theory, okay? Now, that is the most insane thing. What do you mean conspiracy?
That's a bias. The title of the whole section in Wikipedia is biased against anybody who wants to argue that he's not a natural-born citizen.
Calling it
a conspiracy. Conspiracy is just a loaded word for plan. And you can't tell me that the Democratic Party hasn't been planning for years to run Obama as a president. They've been planning it for years.
But the point is, the media and these people writing these articles, anything that you say about Obama that's not supportive or whatever, okay, it's a conspiracy theory.
Sure. You're a tinfoil hat guy.
Yeah. But
that's all
that,
against
that
the rules for radicals and ridicule.
We've got to have a strategy with them as well. Are you ready?
I'm
going
to have to excuse myself
question.
For a minute. I'll be back. I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Okay, very good. Mario, are you ready for a question?
Yes.
Okay, 828, you're live.
Yeah, this is Obama Release Your Records. I just wanted to correct Commander Kirchner, David Gregory, not Dick.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, how are you?
How are you? Thank you for joining us. What's on your mind, or what do you see, and what are your thoughts about our conversation this evening?
It's enjoyable as usual. I always like hearing Mario.
This is Bob, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Hi, Bob.
Pleasure to talk to you, and you are absolutely fantastic. Okay, I want you to know that. You're on top of everything. Your analysis is fantastic, how you piece things together, and you do it so quickly and so efficiently. So, you know, you have a tremendous mind, and I commend you for that.
Well,
yeah, you are
that.
A lifeline, Bob.
It's a tough fight, but it's worth it.
Yeah, you don't miss a beat, as they say, right?
I try not to.
Yeah, no, you're on top of it, and again, you're definitely giving a tremendous service to our country by giving that information, and you're it's hard hitting. You know, your posts are hard hitting, and that's what you need. You know, no holds held back.
Well,
you know what's astounding to me about your latest videos is just the clip you have right in the beginning of Obama actually lying to all of us straight out.
I think that
that
should,
is just unbelievable.
that should be ran in political ads.
Who's on the line? I just came back.
You'll be surprised. Go ahead. Tell them who you are.
This is Obama. Release your records.
Oh, my. Oh, boy. You're the guy that WorldNet Daily uses a lot of your videos.
Yeah, quite often.
The people who lie things. What's that quote from Obama?
I'm going to put 850 live as well.
The only people with something to hide or only people, whatever, is Obama's quote. What's that quote you run all the time?
Oh, what is it?
I lied. Hello?
Born a Brit, not a Jit.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here.
Hello?
Yes.
Am I here? Can
Hello?
You hear me?
Yes.
Hello?
Who are you?
Yes, this is James. I've spoken to Charles and Mario before. How you guys doing?
How you doing, James?
How
you
doing,
how are
down
you?
In Florida,
yeah.
James?
Did Obama release your records there?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm James. You see me on Facebook. I'm always putting posts on there.
Oh, yeah.
James, you got a quick question?
Yeah. I got a question. Did you hear what happened in New Hampshire today? New Hampshire.
What happened? What happened?
Well, New Hampshire had a birther bill, and they were thinking of getting that they were going to pass a birther bill to ask for the birth certificate. The problem is they wanted to pass the birth certificate, but when do you think they wanted to put it in effect?
2013.
After the reelection of Obama.
After Obama was elected in 2013, right. They said that they couldn't pass the bill because the eligibility bill would be viewed as an attack on Obama and would be legitimizing the birthers. Can you believe that? That's absolute nonsense. Totally insane.
Yeah, but how's it? You know, my question is, how's it an attack on him? He says that he was born in Hawaii.
And
when he released his birth certificate, that everything is hunky dory, everything is normal. So where's the attack?
And what's wrong with an attack? When do the politics become beanbags? I mean, you know what? There's supposed to be attacks on issues of concern and the electability of somebody. Now, what is it about Obama that you're not allowed to attack him? You can't say anything about the man. You can't call him a socialist. That's unfair. You can't say he's not eligible. That's unfair. Let's get to the facts. Let's stop all this. You can't say anything about Obama. What is he, some kind of the prodigal child or something like that?
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
If you say anything, you're not allowed to do it. And if you do it, you're a racist. You're called a racist if you do it.
Right. Basically, what they're trying to do is they're trying to transform these birther bills into basically a political question, just like the courts, saying that you can't question the eligibility of candidates because it includes Obama. And since you can't, and since it's nobody, or since nobody can question Obama, we can't pass the bill.
They want a grandfather in Obama. That's what they're trying to do.
Obama's term runs out in 4 years. Okay? At that point,
right.
he's not the president anymore. Okay?
Exactly
unless he wins the election.
I think he's probably going to get reelected. That's my view. Unless one of these birther bills stops him, he's probably going to get reelected. I don't really
But why would you say that, James?
Strong.
You know, let me tell you, before you answer that question, you know, my opinion about people who make predictions is that whatever they're predicting, that's what they want to happen. That's my opinion. But so go ahead, give me your answer.
Well, I don't want to, but I haven't really seen any real strong Republican come out that really has any power to stop him. I mean, they're not going to nominate Sarah Palin, and I just don't think Huckabee or Romney really has the power to take on Obama. And
you're assuming he wins the nomination. I think the states are going to stop him from even winning the nomination in the primaries.
Well, yeah, assuming one of these bills passes. Now that's a big if. I mean, you know, a lot of these bills may in fact be unconstitutional from the OBOT's point of view, but it really doesn't matter because there's a little-known fact that when a state legislation passes a bill into law, it is presumed constitutional unless until it's proven otherwise. So if they pass one of these bills into law, it's going to be presumed constitutional, and it's going to be up to Obama to challenge it. Well, that's going to
James, do you have a question? Because we've been discussing this evening.
Well, I'm saying that's going to run through the courts, and you know, all you need to do is get one of these bills to pass, even on a minor state. And I mean, once the media finds out that he's not on the ballot because he can't produce his papers, I think he'll be done. I mean, I think that's the whole thing. He'll be done.
Yeah, but why shouldn't he be able to produce his papers? I mean, everybody tells us that he's born in Hawaii. He gave his birth certificate. They said they have it there and the whole bit. So why shouldn't he be able to produce his papers?
Because we know otherwise. I mean, that's what they're saying. But we know that there's no long-form birth certificate there. I mean, the governor of Hawaii has said so. There's no long-form birth certificate. He can't produce the long-form birth certificate.
This is a real head-scratcher.
Yeah, but one thing I do want to add that I think that they should change in the bills is everyone's asking, you know, for the original birth certificate or the long-form birth certificate. I think what they need to do is they need to ask for a birth certificate with identifying markers, meaning they need to ask a birth certificate that has identifying markers like the hospital, witnesses, the physician. We know that Obama's COB doesn't have any of that.
The Georgia bill, House Bill 401 in Georgia addresses all of that. Everything you're looking
for
is in
they're saying you have to get the long-form birth certificate.
No,
now,
they go into
actually,
specifics of what's got to be provided, the name of the delivering doctor or midwife that's in the House bill in Georgia.
Right, but they need to say the identifying markers. We're looking for the identifying markers. We know Obama's COB doesn't have any of those identifying markers. So that would not be.
What are you doing, James? What are you doing in Florida to get a Florida bill passed?
Well, I've been kind of busy right now, but you know,
You can call us up and tell us what to do. But you got to get down there in Florida to get to work yourself.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking. I did go to. Did I tell you? I went. Cliff Stearns is my congressman. I went to his town hall meeting a couple of weeks ago, and I raised the eligibility issue there.
What did he say?
Oh, he didn't really say nothing. He just basically shrugged his shoulders and said, "Well, I don't know why he won't release his birth certificate," and he kind of moved on. But I did mention Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin, and he said something that he said that Lieutenant Colonel Terry Lakin was supposed to. You know, when you sign up in the military, you're supposed to serve the president and follow the orders of the president. So
That's not true. The officer's oath is not to the president; it's to the Constitution.
Exactly. That's what I corrected him on, and I was pretty assertive when I asked my question. And some people got a little upset. Some people in the audience got a little upset because they said, "Oh, that's a distracting issue. That's an important issue, but there are other issues we need to talk about." You know, a couple of people, and then there were a couple of people that were glad I raised it. But Cliff Stearns, he kind of just shrugged his shoulders and said, "Well, Obama won't produce his versus. I don't know why." And he kind of left it at that, and I didn't really get a clear answer out of him.
James, were you speaking during your part of the open meeting?
It was an open town hall meeting.
But it was during your allotted time?
So
if you were speaking during your allotted time, how come you had people yelling and saying that they didn't like the issue that you were raising? I mean, why was that?
Because it was a distracting issue. You know,
yeah, but what's it to them?
Oh,
you know, everybody has their own chance to speak, right?
Right.
So why should they be, like, you know, yelling and interjecting that they don't like the issue that you raised?
Well, at the town hall meeting, when people ask their question, a lot of people will throw support around the person asking a question, like, "Yeah, that's a good question," or they'll clap or stand up or cheer or something. I got a few cheers from the audience, but then there's some people that, you know, they want to ask their question. They don't want to spend, you know, an hour on one question. You know, everyone wants to ask their own question. And some people did say, oh, well, yeah, you know, that's a distracting issue, but let's move on. There's other things we got to talk about.
It was during your allotted time.
Well, yeah. I mean, I was taking up a little bit of time with asking the question. I think some people got a little annoyed.
No, wait. James, hang on, James. This is
yes.
Dr. Kate.
Yes.
I think one of the things that needs to happen, you know, is you can't take this informally. If it was your allotted time, there should have been no one interrupting you. Go to a forum where you have allotted time. That's one thing. Second thing is that if you can, it would be really good if you got with other like-minded people in Florida and got going on some kind of eligibility legislation. Florida is a big, big state, so hopefully you can do that. Last thing I just want to say, interrupting all of you, is that we have Area 901 on the line. If you want to... Please press 1 and I'll unmute you. Otherwise, I'll leave you muted. Okay, go ahead, gentlemen.
You can go. I'm done. Hello?
Well, thank you for joining us, James.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Take care, guys.
Thank you, James. Commander,
Dr. Kate, any other callers?
Let me see.
But all these people that are blogging and calling in or whatever, and why don't you do this?
Excuse me, 901,
you...
you're live. Do you have a question? I think he or she would rather remain muted.
I'm saying it's now time for people to get off their duffs and do something. And it's in the state's realm, so you can easily drive to your local state's rest office and do something. That's what I threw it back at James there. What is he doing? Well, he turns out he tried to do something. Now, maybe what he should have done when he was at that meeting, he should have had a prepared letter and attached a copy of what the other 13 states were already doing. And with his allotted time when he was speaking, they shouldn't have been allowed to shout him down. Yeah, that was Saul Alinsky's tactic, a union goon's tactic, to
right.
try to... start shouting when you're trying to make a point that they don't want you to make. But then he should have handed the rep that printed material with a letter and saying, okay, I've told you my opinion, and here's what 13 other states are doing, and here's a letter from me asking you to do something, and please take this and send me a response in writing. You know, don't let them off the hook with just a verbal statement. That's when I went into my state rep's office. I gave them written material, and I also asked for a written response. And then tonight I spoke to him on the phone. So I'm working on it, and that's what you got to keep doing. You can't take just one no for an answer. You got to keep coming back to him and show him, say, look, it's not just me coming into your office asking for the vetting process in the state of XYZ to be tightened up. We've got 13 other states. Now, here they are. Here's a printout. Show them that people are concerned about this, and that it's just because the media is not covering it doesn't mean it's not a concern.
We have area 215 and 570 live. Please introduce yourselves.
Hi, it's Patty Dunn, Papoose.
Oh.
Hey,
hi, how are you?
Patty, no talking about
the walking. I just figured I'd go out there and, you know, I'd come out and talk. Say my name because you know how it is out there.
Papoose, we're talking about the walk. We're talking about the walk in the woods.
I know. I just wanted to say, first of all, great show tonight, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to, like, because I'm in the moment. Hi, Terry Lakin. I'm imagining you.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to say hi to the Lakin family. And that's what always brings me here, I guess. That's what always will make me pick up the phone. And, what a nice reunion tonight. That guy, James. Oh, gosh, that was sad. Good job with
he's
that.
He's kind of a regular. he kind of like, he calls every show we're on, he calls.
Oh,
and he's always
God.
Making predictions.
Mm-hmm.
I know. You know, and it's like, it kind of like fries your brain. It's like, don't rent space here. I know, but good job, Dr. Kate. That was scat.
I got a call from Commander Kirshner who identified him. Uh-huh. And by the way, 570, you're live too, so jump in anytime.
Thanks very much. It's Sean. Hi, Commander Kirchner. Hi, Mario. Hi, Dr. Kate.
Addie, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You go ahead, too. We're all there.
No, I wanted to say hi. Hi. I just wanted to let you know that I'm here. I'm on board. When I'm talking about a reunion, I say that we all get together in PA, and I think we all should go to Manhattan and press on the press, and I think we ought to get in their windows with our signs, and I think we just should say, hey, look, we are Americans. We have the right to ask questions. We have the right to know. And you know what? And about that, your curriculum vitae or whatever, cough them up, every single one. We have
Patty,
a right. We're not
Patty,
freaking buzzers.
Patty, my state rep said Representative Metcalf is behind the scenes working on this. So if you know anybody who knows Representative Metcalf, start getting
him. Well, he's
not
behind the scenes anymore, Charlie.
I know.
I'm just like saying, you know what? I'm sick of this shit. I'm sick of being told that I'm crazy.
Hey, did Sean
you know?
Have a question?
Yes, thanks, Commander. Mario, I understand in a couple of the radio broadcasts that you've done, you've talked about the evidence that Lucas Daniel Smith has brought forth. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, I said that his birth certificate, as far as I can tell, from what I read on the Internet and what I learned from the government, from the Congress, has not been debunked yet. Everything is quiet. I just mentioned just earlier about this this Wikipedia article, Barack Obama's Citizenship Conspiracy Theories. And this has been updated as of March 2011. And it talks about the other birth certificate, the one from Kenya, the one that said the Republic of Kenya on here. But not one word of the Lucas Smith birth certificate is even mentioned in this whole thing. It's like 42 pages if you print it out. It's got all the footnotes and all the sort of thing. It doesn't have one word of Lucas Smith in this. And I said, what's going on here, right? Then we never heard anything from Congress. So
they offered
to
testify in federal court about it, and they refused to let him testify. So if he's forging a document, would he volunteer to testify under oath in federal court?
Why don't we just get a document? It's out there. It's in 527 offices that we know of. Why don't we just, do a forensic on it and go to our neighborhood blogs like CW and We the People and just get out there with people that really care about the issue.
Well, the
Obama
original certified copy.
And just, put it up. We are entitled to see it. We don't have
Patty,
we don't need
Patty.
A law.
Patty, every member of Congress was given a copy of that by Lucas Smith.
Exactly.
And not a single member of Congress asked him to come in and testify.
Well,
if he's forging the president's birth certificate, he should be indicted for it.
Exactly.
Are they indicting him?
Exactly.
No, they don't want to ask any questions.
Because it's deposition and discovery under oath.
Exactly.
Well, if he's going to be charged with forgery, then of course he tells here's the document, here's how I got it. Now prove that I committed forgery.
Original? Why can't some congressman give somebody the actual? Let's do forensics on it, like tomorrow.
Well, that's the question.
We're
why aren't they
we're
doing it?
Talking about
the question
it.
Is,
not?
Patty, why aren't any congressmen doing it?
Maybe we
because
should take
they're
it
afraid
out
of the
hands.
Answer. They know the answer, Patty.
Well, why don't
they
you ask them?
Yeah.
Why don't you ask your congressman or somebody, ask Congress, how come they haven't done anything?
Lucas Smith has.
Why haven't the forensics been done on it? We the
well,
people.
Well, why you keep saying forensics?
What
about
that
Congress?
Is.
What about Congress?
According to my knowledge, they all have a copy. It's in their file.
Yeah, well, has anybody contacted Congress to ask them why they haven't done anything?
Yeah, it belongs to us anyway. If it's sitting in any office, it's ours. It belongs to us. It doesn't belong to the office of whoever was the recipient. He's our representative. She's our representative. And if there's Kenyan birth certificate anywhere, and it's
the
in
the document is all over the internet.
Up.
The document is all just bring it up on your internet. It's all over the internet. Okay, it's a public document. The Congress has it. Every member has one. So why would Congress
get a hold of it and put it on all? I think that we should get a hold of one. We're entitled to it.
Just print it out. Go on your computer and print it out. You got one.
Hang on, please. There are a couple things here. That one document, we do not know whether Lucas Smith had
exactly.
this thing forensically
analyzed.
We read
about it, analyzed. We hear about it, but we didn't see it. Let's call for
hang
it
on.
See
but now, wait
hang
a minute.
On.
Why do
hang
we
on.
Have to get it? Why isn't Congress getting Lucas Smith to bring his original version that he got handed to him in Kenya, he says,
you're
in
right.
Congress,
that's
and Congress investigates
oh,
it,
because
does
they're
the forensic.
Not doing any. Congress
okay.
isn't doing anything but, you know, raking in the box.
But
and
Patty, if we do it, nobody believes it. If we
okay,
get
hang
Lucas
on.
Business,
it's a cakewalk being in Congress. They're
okay,
not
no.
doing nothing about anything.
Yeah, but why doesn't anybody
right.
ask them about
okay.
it?
I can answer
okay.
that.
I'm sorry. Mario,
let's hear from Sean. Let's hear from Sean.
Right, but just let me tie this one up, and then we'll go back to Sean. Mario said it. We need to ask Congress for that. Everyone should write to Congress and ask them
yep.
for a copy of Obama's Kenyan birth certificate. Mm-hmm. Because they all have
it. Was me,
okay,
Patty.
Let's go to
I'm
Sean.
I'm saying it. Go for it. Get it.
It's
ours.
It's public
obvious.
Information.
It's obvious to me.
Go ahead, Sean, please.
Yes. It's obvious to me that the congressional members are most concerned with maintaining their positions of power and privilege, and they're afraid, and that they're afraid by the media and by their colleagues, and acquiescing to their pressure. They're not, they don't have the commitment to the Constitution. They don't have the commitment to the American
yeah.
populace.
They're entrepreneurs.
And so they are not. They are not fighting in our best interest. They're a privileged class and fighting to maintain their privileged class. What we need to do is recognize that fact, and we need to, as citizens, be willing to come out with our names. My name is Sean Boyer of Dalton, Pennsylvania. My name is Sean Boyer of Dalton, Pennsylvania. My phone number is 881-0170 and area code 570. I'm just a citizen. I'm just a
Bobby
nobody.
And Mary already have mine.
But my point is, I'm a citizen, that I'm not willing to let my country be taken from me, okay, without fighting. And so I'm going to do whatever I can do.
The
well,
Congress
I'm really
is afraid
to have
of
you
the
on
cause.
The line with you, Sean.
The Congress is afraid of the truth. They know the facts
they
when
know
they come
the
out.
Truth.
That's right. They're afraid
the
of the truth.
I'm really
they
grateful.
Know
I'm really grateful
Lucas,
that
Lucas
I get
Daniel
to hear
Smith,
your voice. Thank you, Sean.
Lucas Daniel Smith has the original birth certificate that he obtained on February 19th of 2009. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And the government knows it.
Mm-hmm.
CNN knows it. NBC knows it. Fox News knows it. They all know it. And so what we need to do as citizens is to support the people who are willing to fight for the cause. And one is Mario Smith. Another is Commander Kirshner. So as citizens, we have to get together and be willing to contribute to them for them to continue their research and to support people like Lucas Daniel Smith, who has obtained this document and has been fighting for 2 years to bring it to public attention. Demand Senate to 539 congressmen and women. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm very passionate about this issue, and I realize that the whole government can come down on me, and I'm willing to stand up for what's right.
Well, I commend you, Sean, for that statement,
yep.
And when you're right on the mark, is more people have got to
mm-hmm.
stand up. More people have got to stand up.
Nothing's being done in less than 10 seconds in compliments of Obama. Those who don't want to disclose the truth have something to hide.
Right.
Yep, that's exactly right, and that must be Obama. Release your record, because I see it every day, and you're absolutely right. The only people that don't have anything to hide are those that have something to hide. Right there with the truth. He puts the word truth in that sentence. He makes me sick. Well, anyway.
How do you think you got away saying that without laughing?
I couldn't, but that is the epitome.
But, look at his eyes. He doesn't look at you.
That video is that tape is, oh my God, that's going to be like in mm-hmm. the trial, like they did the Lakin. It's going to be on the wall.
Mario's point when he was talking about Congress is that mm-hmm. if they thought that there was somebody out there forging birth certificates for
mm-hmm.
a president of the United States, why
Absolutely.
Isn't the Secret Service calling on Lucas Smith and prosecuting him?
Yeah, it's just like in Chicago.
Yeah, isn't that absurd that here you got
trial.
Somebody. Hello?
Give me, you know, just it's in Chicago what they're doing today. Hey, look at Charlie Sheen, but don't check out what's going on with the Blago trial. He went in and asked if he could have his retrial canceled and pay whatever penalty and get whatever punishment mm-hmm. on what's going on. They're shutting that down. They have to.
Let's stay on Obama if we can. We don't want to get off on tangents, Patty.
Is Obama right there, D.C., Illinois?
Well, if you want
There's
to go
lot
to
lot
Chicago
of,
with
stuff.
Obama, find out who forged the Selective Service Registration
exactly.
for Obama
it's
out
all,
of the Chicago,
that,
out of the Chicago
that,
office.
Exactly, Charlie, because it's more about not just the birth certificate. It's about the bona fides. It's about the curriculum vitae. It's about everything we're entitled to see. It's called a resume. And if you're the CEO and commander-in-chief of my country, I'm so sorry, but you don't have any privacy rights. What's that about? That's insanity.
You got a president who's using identity theft, using the Social Security numbers of dead people.
No kidding. Everybody knows it. That's what I'm saying. It's not just about the BC. It's about everything because everything behind it is what's really being hidden because it'll show what's on the actual BC because of all of the names mm-hmm. and the places.
Well, why isn't
the
Congress investigating the Social Security number fraud allegations?
Congress
why?
Not
because
doing
they know the answer. They don't want
to
bring criminal charges
of
against Obama because they're afraid of the answer. They know
and because they're going to be busted, for complicity. Also,
I think out of all of this, the Social Security number is you would think would be the thing that
Connecticut.
Would be
how about
flag.
That? Connecticut.
That is the thing. That is the thing. When you go to a city council meeting and you take your time to talk when no one has the right to interrupt you, and you lay out 39 Social Security numbers and effectively incite them to resources, that astounds everybody. Nobody knows what to do with that because everybody knows what that means.
Mm-hmm. Kate, I don't
even
know
birth
talk
certificate.
To you for a second about
social
for everyone,
numbers.
But you know what? I'm sick and tired to death of you know anything to do with any public official's office. I think it's time to go to our local TV stations in our downtown cities and everywhere across the nation and in Manhattan and press on the press and ask them questions on signs to please respond. I think it's time to like skip over Washington, D.C. and just head to your local Fox News station and everywhere and start telling the press to you know, own up. I really think it's time that we need to go to the press, and you know, because that's the only
Well, Patty, you know, we've been trying to go to press, but nobody will put
you're
Mario and I. We made a breakthrough.
You,
we made a breakthrough this morning. Mario got on Peter Boyle. Mario got on Peter Boyle. That's a big station.
One at a time.
I know, in Colorado. But you know what? I'm talking about physically taking my butt to the press. It's just like the chemtrails. Where's the meteorologist every day with the local TV news? It's going to be cloudy. No shit. You know, what are we? We don't see the planes in the sky making it cloudy. It's up there. Everything is it's one big charade, and I think it's time that we need to press on the press big time in numbers, everybody, everywhere. Just, you know, just start calling it incessantly. Bug your local news for the real news, including the birth certificate. And the Kenya thing, too.
All right, I agree, and I think we've got about, let me see, we've got about 20 minutes left, so I'd like to sort of
All right.
close
I'll
that.
I'll check out, but
wait,
I just have to say hi.
I just wanted to pull us all back to just discuss next steps, if you will.
Okay.
And I think Patty's laid out one of the steps. I think Sean has laid out some others. I note that we have three people from Pennsylvania on the line. And as Charles was saying earlier, it's time to get that state as well really on board with this, so perhaps everyone can move that effort. But I also think that the local effort, what Patty's talking about, what I've been talking about, that still has to happen. Obviously,
okay.
The Supreme Court, those
yep.
folks are not interested in dealing with this. We've got corruption. We've got the lack of judicial integrity. And the state now, states now are where the horizon is. So
right.
with that in mind, can you all offer some closing thoughts?
Sean, can I ask you a question?
Sure, certainly.
You're in Dauphin County?
Dalton, Lackawanna County.
Oh, Lackawanna.
Yes.
Hi, neighbor.
How close is that to Harrisburg?
Oh, geez, I'm hours from Harrisburg, but
hours,
I,
okay.
you know,
is,
I've got
is,
a vehicle
Representative,
I can travel.
Is Representative Metcalf, his district near you?
No,
he's the
it's
one.
Not.
Okay, all right. I just thought maybe by luck of the draw we got somebody that was close enough to go visit his office.
I don't
I'm
think
close,
Dolphin's
I'm
all
close
that
enough
far
I can
from
visit
where
his
I am.
Office. I'm close enough. He's not close, and I'm close enough.
Well, he's the one that my rep told me that Representative Metcalf is the one leading this behind the scene, trying to get something organized. So if you can get in to see him and take in that WND article, it shows the 13 states that are now working on this to show him that Pennsylvania would not be alone to get out in front now, because Pennsylvania would not be alone. We have 13 states. Pennsylvania should become the 14th state. And bring that bill out, the sooner the better.
Okay. I'll try to contact Mario and see if I can get more information on exactly what needs to be done there, and I'll do whatever it takes to travel to
you
him.
Know,
and,
do you know about WorldNet Daily, Sean? WorldNet Daily?
Yeah,
you, know, you know how to
yes, absolutely.
But that right on the front page is the 13 states article right now, down about halfway. You can print it out.
I have a question regarding Lakin. This is Obama Release Your Records. How come we haven't seen any of the transcripts from the trial yet?
It's a kangaroo
hey,
court.
How about it? It's an etched in my mind and my heart forever. It will never go away.
Government workers at work.
Is that
you got that right?
Let me make one comment, and I think this is really important. Today I read someplace on the Internet that this is a bloodless coup by
yep.
Obama to take
mm-hmm.
over our country. Now, first of all, that's an oxymoron. There is no such thing as a bloodless coup, but it's worth considering, because a coup is an overturn of our government,
yep.
but without military intervention. However, the bottom line is, when you realize all of the veterans, the American veterans who have fought and died and spilled their blood in our country and around the world to defend freedom, and that now the freedom that they fought and died for is being taken out from under us by a nation that is largely asleep to what is going on, then you realize that there is no such thing as a bloodless coup. But mm-hmm. that the blood that was lost by our ancestors, by our relatives, it is being desecrated by this this communist takeover of our, this Marxist takeover of our government.
You're
we need
so right
to stand
on.
Up
you are
and
so
fight.
Right on. You are so, Sean.
And the media, the mainstream media
respond?
Is allowing this to happen. The major media is allowed this to happen.
They're
and we have a provost, and we have a provost general sitting right now that is breaching her duty because she knows to. And when you talk about a bloodless coup, we have a provost general. We have a government and we have a military. And what has happened with this communistic Marxist coup is they have combined our three branches of government right in front of our faces blatantly in a period of 18 months. Actually,
no.
It was a split second.
Brilliant conspiracy to take over our government over decades.
That's
okay,
right.
Over decades.
But we saw it happen. We were alive and kicking. We saw that day that it happened. Look at our Supreme Court.
But we were lied to by our military. So when you're talking about the public,
we
saw it happen. Some of us saw it happen. But the
rest
of us
were asleep.
Can I get something positive out here, what somebody can do?
Yes, we can contribute to you, Commander, and to Mario's practice to continue to keep up the fight, to continue to fight for people like Lucas Daniel Smith, to bring the evidence forward, to have the whatever evidence is available authenticated to the best of our ability, and to make a strike for what's God and right for God and country. That's what we can do. That needs to be our game plan. Okay, that needs to be our action plan. We need not to just talk about the fact that all of the cards are stacked against us. We need to have our action plan. And our action plan is to support those who have proven to be champions of the cause. And in my opinion, it's obvious that it's Mario Puzo and Commander Kirshner. Okay, and frankly, people like Lucas Daniel Smith, and that we all need to team together and to have courage and to come out with our own names and come out from behind our monikers, okay, on the internet, and to be willing to stand and fight at the risk of being arrested.
Thank you, Sean, very much.
I want to remind everyone to contribute to Commander Kirshner's effort and Mario Puzo's effort at protectourliberty.org. I head on over there and drop in what you can. Thank you, Sean, very much. We're going to be we've got about 4 minutes left, and I'd like to leave that to Mario and Commander Bob. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
Just that those that don't want to disclose the truth have something to hide. That's Brock.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
I wanted to suggest that I got Sean to say he's going to go see Representative Metcalf and drop off some papers on the 13 states. And I would ask Patty to go into her state rep down there in Southeast PA or wherever you're at and get him on board and give him the copy of that printout from WND and tell him to get in touch with Representative Metcalf and get working on this and make PA the 14th state to announce that they're going to be passing or trying to pass a vetting bill for presidential eligibility. If we could get like a couple people all over the state just doing it with their rep and giving them the information and say, speak to Representative Metcalf in the halls of Harrisburg next time you see him. That's something
thank
concrete.
Thank you so much, Commander. Mario, you have the last word. I just want to thank you both for coming. Mario.
Well, I want to say that this whole Obama eligibility issue has been an eye-opener for our nation. It's caused us to do some soul-searching, to go back into our roots, study the Founding Fathers, the Republic that they gave us. But it also has made me think, and I was thinking this today, that it is so easy to lose what we have. It only takes it's incredible the intelligence that the Founding Fathers had about making sure you have a natural-born citizen as a president, because one generation, you lose the values that you need to continue to preserve your society. All you need is one generation. So Obama, okay, he came in, and he's acted like no other president has that I'm aware of, okay? I mean, I might be wrong about that if we go, back into history and we analyze everything that these presidents did, but I'm not aware of, just this general change that he's got us into, these ideas and how he's treated our nation, vis-a-vis other nations, and everything is just like backwards. It's not American. And there you have it. There you have it. That one generation that you need to pass the values on to your children to make sure you preserve your society. So that's what I've learned from all this, that it's so easy for us to lose what we have just by one generation.
Thank you, Mario. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Patty. Thank you, all listeners. Please join us again next week and join Walls in Our Minds tomorrow. Thank you all.
Thank you, Dr. Kate. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, Commander. Good night.